The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. It's great to be back here at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, standing in the pulpit in the sky, in this wonderful historic church surrounded by you, the saints of this time and place. I bring you greetings from the 135 saints of Hope Lutheran Church in Powell, Wyoming. Should any of you find yourselves traveling through the area, and we are only about 80 miles east of Yellowstone, please know that you are more than welcome to come and worship with us. 5 years ago, this very week, I began my internship year here with all of you. And there are some things that I look back on with fondness. Fun times with you, the congregation, and the staff that was in place here at that time. The classes that I got to participate in and sometimes lead. The various fun activities that I got to participate in around Lancaster outside of working here at the church. And all sorts of other things. The danger comes when I start remembering the good things over and above the bad. That is, looking at things through the lens of nostalgia. The word nostalgia is defined as a wistful desire to return in thought or in fact to a former time in one's life. When you become nostalgic about something, you tend to remember all of the good things about the past and to forget that there were bad things as well. So, for instance, sometimes I wish that I could hold more academically oriented Bible studies at my current congregation, and then I remember that most of the people in my congregation would not attend such a Bible study. If I were then to long to be back here at Trinity, where such classes are possible, and if I were to desire that above everything else, forgetting the more difficult times that I did have here from time to time, then I would be idealizing my time here, and I would be forgetting all of the other wonderful gifts that the people of God in Powell, Wyoming have. Nostalgia can lead to discontentment with one's present circumstances. And discontentment can lead to grumbling, complaining, and ingratitude for the gifts which God has given us. In short, nostalgia can lead to lack of trust in the goodness of God and unbelief that God can, in fact, provide for all of our needs. In our reading from Exodus today, we see the people of Israel being nostalgic. They have just been led out of slavery from Egypt after witnessing the 10 plagues that God unleashed upon the Egyptians. They have been saved from the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, by sacrificing and eating the Passover lamb and putting the blood on the lintels of their doors. They have seen the Red Sea part in front of them, and they have gone through on dry ground while the waves crashed in on and drowned the Egyptian soldiers who were pursuing them. They have witnessed God's mighty deeds. And yet, barely 2 months later, they are complaining about having no food, and they are remembering all of the meat and all of the bread that they ate while they were enslaved in Egypt. Never mind that they probably didn't eat very much meat. In their nostalgic minds, they remember the little bit of meat they got as a veritable feast, and they blame Moses for their current lack of food, forgetting that ultimately it is God who provides for them. We in the church tend to engage in this type of nostalgia too. We remember the heyday of the 1950s and the 1960s, where everybody went to church every Sunday, the pews were full, and everybody was having children. Sunday school classrooms were full to overflowing with children, confirmation classes numbered over 20, and those children grew up to go to church too. Today, though, things have changed. Attendance in worship is declining. Those children who grew up in the 1950s and 1960s are getting older, looking around and wondering where the young people are. They then worry about what will happen to their beloved congregation. Am I describing any feelings that you here at Trinity may have or have had? Instead of trusting in God to provide for us, we fall into nostalgia, put on our rose-colored glasses, forget the bad things about being church in the 1950s and 1960s, and yes, there were bad things that happened then, and we complain. If only we had died by the hand of the Lord while the church was prospering, when we had large numbers coming to worship and our Sunday school rooms and our confirmation classes were overflowing with children. For you have brought us into this wilderness of people who are spiritual but not religious, who answer surveys saying none when asked what religion they are, and those who say they are done with church. You will kill this whole church with the lack of young people. Such nostalgia and such complaining can make us blind to the gifts that God is giving us in this present time, and can also lead us to believe, wrongly, that God's church is disappearing. So, what does God do in response when we engage in nostalgic thinking and then start worrying and complaining? Well, for the ancient Israelites, instead of striking them with lightning bolts, God responds with grace and rains down bread from heaven. And this is not just any kind of bread. This is something that the Israelites have never seen before, and so that's what they call it. The Hebrew word manna means, what is it? It would be like us calling something that we had never seen before a whatchamacallit, or a thingamabob. And yet this manna, this thingamabob, is nourishing and tastes good to all of the people. And God gives not too much or not too little, but just enough for every day. This is the ultimate way in which the people of God are truly dependent on God for their daily bread. And God provides us, too, with that daily bread. But for us, that daily bread is not a whatchamacallit or a thingamabob. The daily bread that God provides us with is Jesus. Jesus says to us, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But the question that we must ask ourselves is, do we really always want to eat what Jesus gives us? Now, there's an amusing cartoon that I have seen online, and that also appeared on a card that someone gave to me not too long ago. It pictures Jesus feeding the crowd with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. But the people, instead of taking what Jesus offers gladly, are saying things like, well, I can't eat that. I'm vegan. Has that fish been tested for mercury? And is that bread gluten-free? Now, I'm not saying that people today don't have legitimate health concerns, and I don't believe that the artist who drew the cartoon was trying to make fun of people with valid health concerns. I think that what the artist is trying to say is that we don't trust Jesus to give us the things that are best for us. When Jesus gives us bread to eat, we want chocolate cake with chocolate frosting on top. When Jesus gives us fish to eat, we ask for beef instead. And when Jesus gives us a population that is spiritual but not religious, we whine and complain because we have to work harder to reach out, and people don't just come to us because it's the thing to do. But that doesn't mean that people are not hungering and thirsting for what Jesus can give. In today's society, we have many new opportunities to reach people where they are and to testify to our faith to others. Author Tom Eric recently wrote a blog post entitled, 5 Ways Churches Inflicted Pain on Themselves. The first way, he claims, is that we stopped trying. He writes, for a time, religious institutions in America were bold risk takers. Then we settled into maintenance mode because it felt safe and comfortable. We fought over churchy things that didn't matter because the things that did matter, racism, inequality, demagoguery, corporate thievery, obsession with money, and sex, cut too close to home. Related to this, but actually number 5 on Eric's list, is that we trashed our reputation. We became known as judgmental, angry, self-serving, smug, boring, and old. As far as people outside can tell, we live to fight, we think too highly of ourselves, and we are moral scolds. Who needs that? We now have an opportunity to repent of these things and others that we as church have done. We have an opportunity to go out and to witness to others that we Christians recognize that we have caused harm in the past, but that we want to show the world who our faith in Jesus compels us to be and what it compels us to do. We have an opportunity to share with our society that knowing Jesus gives us the opportunity to repent of our sins, to be forgiven, and to go out and share that bread of life with all who hunger and thirst for it. And the opportunity that has been given us is an incredible one. God has given us the blessing of a society where we are encouraged to be the church in different ways. One example is a group called the Slate Project in the Baltimore area. This is a collaboration between the ELCA and the Episcopal Church, reaching out to mainly millennials, both online and in face-to-face gatherings. Part of their online message is debunking many common misconceptions about the Bible and about Christianity, encouraging people to cut through the bad stuff that Christianity has surrounding it and to feed on Jesus as the bread of life. There is also the very well-known House for All Sinners and Saints in Denver, Colorado, pastored by Nadia Boltz-Weber, which is reaching out to people who have been marginalized by the church and feeding people with Jesus, the bread of life. And if you'll forgive my plug here, the conference that I'm attending next week, the Network of Biblical Storytellers Festival Gathering, is another creative way that we have to reach people with God's love. Instead of simply reading scripture in worship, biblical storytellers learn the story by heart and then tell it, bringing the black and white words on the page to life in a new and meaningful way. When I experienced hearing Paul's first letter to the Corinthians told to me as a story instead of being read, I gained so many new insights about that letter that I fell in love with it all over again. Now, these are just a few examples of the creativity that God's church is experimenting with as we seek to feed people with Jesus. And things have changed here at Holy Trinity even in the years since I was here. I keep up with what you have been doing through what I see on the website and on Facebook, and I continue to listen to the sermons that are preached here. It seems as though many of the ministries that were happening when I was here are still going on and going strong, and new ones are developing, such as the Community Garden Ministry. So let's try not to be nostalgic about the past. Instead, let's remember and honor the past, but also give thanks to God for the blessings and opportunities that He still continues to shower down upon us day by day. Let's look for those things and give thanks for them as God continues to provide us with all of the bread that we need through His Son, Jesus Christ, the very bread of life. And let's use all of our creativity to find ways to reach out to all of those around us, inviting them to come and feed upon Jesus as well. Amen.